MZTV.
Well, I had three different topics that I wanted to talk about today, so I thought this was going to be kind of like a potpourri show, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. Then I found out when I started developing this show that this is all related. It's all related. And so, what is it related to? One of our favorite topics, the snatching away. Greetings, I'm Martin Zender, broadcasting from the edge of the bottom of the Floridian Peninsula. The highlight of my day to be speaking with you. The question is, was I disappointed on Monday when at the last Trump, noon on Monday when Donald Trump became the 47th president of the United States, I had intimated to a few acquaintances, wouldn't that be cool if when Paul says we're to be changed at the last Trump, what if that was a nudge, nudge, wink, wink from God? And that at the inauguration of Donald Trump at noon, that's when the snatching away would occur. I never ever said that this was a prediction. I never said it would happen. How could I possibly say that? I would never say anything like that. But I thought, that'd be kind of cool. That'd be kind of cool. Having said that, was I expecting it? Let's just put it this way. I was looking at my watch, and it's 11:50 a.m. I was sitting in Joe's Cafe in Fort Lauderdale, and I thought to myself, am I going to be snatched away in Joe's Cafe? Oh, okay, well, why not? I don't know, somebody would have to pick up the bill, yeah. Well, no, that'd be the first thing I would do when I came back from my immortal state. I would come back and make sure that debt was settled with Joe's Cafe, for sure, for a roast beef melt with 8 pounds of french fries and 6 pounds of ketchup. But it did not happen, did it? Was I disappointed? That's the question. Yes, I was disappointed. I am disappointed every day and every 2.5 minutes, because that's when I constantly in a state of expectation. That's going to touch on another one of my topics today. I'm in a constant state of expectation for Christ to return and to extract us, extricate us out of this wicked eon so we could begin our work with him as the body of Christ to reconcile the universe to God, be display vessels of his grace. Well, we're already kind of that now. But I live with this constant expectation. So in a way, I am constantly disappointed. But my expectation never wanes. And it was a dreary day here on Monday. I know I don't have much room to talk. A lot of you folks up north are freezing your buns off, so forgive me for that. But it was still a dreary day. And when noon came and went, I was like, ah, dang it. It's like, I wanted to tell God, God, you missed your cue again. That was beautiful. You missed your big, another big opportunity there. How poetic, how great. But then God said to me in that nice little quiet way, he says, well, the last Trump is just beginning, you see. Okay, good point. But it is healthy to expect God to perform what he promised to perform for us. We know we are in the season of the end. We know that by many, many different means, scriptural means, and the reality that we see in our world. And the real crime would be contentment, would be over-contentment in this world. Paul tells us to be content, but I submit to you that our contentedness here should be a holding loosely contentment. Because I don't see how any member of the body of Christ could be really content to be on this earth during this eon, to be apart from our Savior. Yes, the Spirit of God makes its home in us, but you know what I mean. You, above all people, know what I mean. So it's a tentative contentment. It's a sort of contentment. It's okay, yes, I'm not going to freak out. I'm not going to give up. Far from it, far from it. I'm more expectant now than ever. So yes, I was disappointed, and every 2.5 minutes I'm disappointed, but then I look to the next 2.5 minutes and I live my life with an expectation. My expectation, let's put it this way, my expectation in Christ is greater than my contentment on this earth. So, and really part of my contentment on this earth is not due to any earthly circumstances. No earthly circumstance can give a contentment. My contentment is knowing that God is on it, that he has a stopwatch. He knows the exact moment he's going to send our Lord and Savior down here to extricate us. And that's a spiritual word, Galatians 1:4, extricate us from the present wicked eon. And I'm content with that. I'm content with God's timing. I have to be content with that. So our contentment lies, this is a good point, our contentment lies not with our earthly circumstances. As good as your circumstances might be, I know you and you know me. I can't be content when I'm looking at earthly circumstances. My contentment, your contentment is in God. We're content in the truth. We're content that we're chosen. And we hold loosely to everything. That is my, in fact, I have a book coming out called How to Survive and Thrive in This Hitty Shitty Life. That's literally the title of the book. It's about holding on loosely to everything. And there's another thing to be content about. Be content about the fact that our ties here are very thin. We do our duty. We do our due diligence in our work and in encouraging each other. We keep that up. We keep that up. But at the same time, we're short timers and we are ready to go any moment. Nobody here, nobody I'm talking to, will say to Christ, could you just hold off for another couple weeks? I got a great deal going on at work, or I'm going to buy a new car, or I'm getting married next week, or I'm finally getting 2 weeks vacation. I'd really like to go to the Bahamas or whatever. I got a pay raise coming, or I want to see my son graduate. I want to see my daughter get married. As legitimate as these desires are, as good as they are, I know you. None of you would say, Lord, just hold off. Hold off until I can find my contentment in this employment situation or this family situation or any kind of personal situation. No, 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 no. Our contentment is in God having chosen us before the disruption of the world. And the fact that he is true to his promises. Now, I am going to answer a question that was asked in yesterday's video. And I really love this. It sounds like a new viewer. And I don't know this person. I don't know if it's a man or a woman. I'm just going to say he. I don't know that. Calls himself Medicated 555. That is really funny to be medicated. Like, that's, yeah, we all have to medicate somehow or another. I'm not going to tell you how to medicate, but there are different forms of medication. I'm not talking about anything illegal here. Medicated 555, and 5 being the number of grace. So listen to this. A man in the midst of madness asks. Okay, so it is a man. Or maybe he's using man in a generic sense, but I like the fact that he considers himself a man in the midst of madness. Sir, we are all in the midst of madness. I love this already. I don't know who you are. A man in the midst of madness asks, and then here comes the question. Can someone point me to a video that delves into your understanding of the snatching away and how you became so certain? I love this. I love this. You detected that in me, yes? I am so certain in this. And that is really where my contentment lies on this earth. Can someone point me to a video that delves into your understanding of the snatching away, speaking to me, and how you became so certain? I am genuinely intrigued. and deeply want to grant myself more understanding of this. Okay, boy, have I got an answer for you. Okay, I thank you for leading me to the letters of Paul. Let me tell you, you could not have said a better thing to me. I lead people to our gospel, to the Apostle Paul, to whom Christ revealed the secrets of the universe, through whom Christ completed the Word of God, and it was Paul indeed who describes in excruciatingly accurate detail, with no figures of speech being employed whatsoever, in 1 Thessalonians 4 and 1 Corinthians 15, of our snatching away. Christians call it the rapture. Forget about that. None of them are going anyway. This is for members of the body of Christ, not adherents of the traditions of men. Medicated 555 continues, I find myself inspired and consoled by his words, the words of Paul, and they seem to be in great conflict with the modern Christian church, the religion. Well, sir, you have a finely tuned spiritual sense, because the letters of Paul are in irreconcilable conflict with the modern Christian church. And then he calls it the religion, rehashed, watered-down Pharisees, it would seem. Yes, you nailed it again. Rehashed, watered-down Pharisees. I would correct one thing. They're not watered-down Pharisees. They are exaggerated Pharisees. These people would crucify us if they could, if it was legal. But the last time I checked, crucifixion is illegal in my country anyway, in all 50 states and parts of Canada and Mexico. I don't know about the rest of the world, but if they can't crucify us, they will expel us from their congregations. They will run us down. They will insult us. They will bear false witness against us. I've seen it again and again. So you are right. Paul's letters are in great conflict with the watered down, well, which I call the exaggerated Pharisees of the Christian religion. And to that, I can say hallelujah. All right, amen. Martin, do you believe the entire New Testament is divinely inspired? Or do you suppose that Paul's letters conflict with other books of the New Testament? God bless you for your honesty, honor, and hard work, sir. All right, you know me, I cry easily. I could easily cry at this last statement. God bless you for your honesty, honor, and hard work. You honor me, sir. Thank you for saying that. I appreciate that. Yes, the entire New Testament is divinely inspired. But the New Testament, what can be referred to as the Greek scriptures, actually contains two gospels. I know, that sounds strange, because we're used to saying that the New Testament contains four gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But these are not four gospels. These are four accounts, four different accounts from four different men of what we call and what Paul himself calls the circumcision gospel. That is the gospel given to Israel concerning the earth. So those scriptures are inspired. God instructing Noah to build an ark, that was inspired. God telling the Israelites to bring their sacrifices to Jerusalem so many times a year, that was inspired. But of course, just because it's all inspired, it doesn't mean that it is instructions to us. As I like to say, all the scriptures are for us, but they're not all to us. But within the Greek scriptures, there are two gospels, the Israel gospel and the gospel to the nations, the gospel to the body of Christ. And so in that sense, Paul's letters do conflict. Well, I don't want to say conflict. They are not meant to be read or mixed in with Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. These are separate gospels to separate people with different expectations. The Israelites expect to remain on earth The meek shall inherit the earth, and that's exactly what they will do. The body of Christ is to be seated among the celestials in Christ. They have to repent and be baptized. We don't. We're justified by faith. Our sins aren't even counted against us. Israel has to constantly repent to be rid of their sins. In the Israel gospel, he who endures to the end shall be saved. In our gospel, we don't have to endure at all. We're saved by virtue of Christ's crucifixion and his death. And the fact that all humanity is included in the justification won by Christ against the condemnation wrought by Adam. So there's no contradiction. That's the way I want to put it. Paul's letters do not contradict these other books. You know, I'm going to keep your word here. I'm going to keep the word conflict. There is a confliction, but not a contradiction, because you're talking about two different messages. So the thing I want to send you home with here is that there are two gospels, even in the Greek scriptures, commonly termed the New Testament. And we have to distinguish. Paul's 13 letters are a revelation unto themselves. And while the entire scripture is profitable for teaching and for understanding about God, the only letters we need out of the entire Bible are Paul's 13 letters. I've heard people say you have to read the Bible every year. Why? Why? When most of it's not written to you. You can learn about God by reading the entire scriptures, but Paul's letters are specifically to a group of people called the body of Christ. Can I read this last line again? This is so good for my heart and my spirit. God bless you for your honesty, honor, and hard work, sir. But his first question was the question of a man in the midst of madness. And as I said, you're in good company here. We're all in the midst of madness. We ourselves are not mad, but we're living in the midst of madness. The world conspires to make us mad, to drive us crazy, but we're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Yes, we're sealed, and no one can take us out of God's hands. Not even our own sins can take us out of God's hands, because Romans 8:1, there is now therefore no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus. Can someone point me to a video that delves into your understanding of the snatching away and how you became so certain? So what I did, I went to YouTube and I put in MZTV snatching away, because I had no idea, like, maybe I'd find one or two videos on the snatching away. Mind you, this is me looking into my own catalog, doing a search that anybody can do. I put in MZTV snatching away. This is what I got. MZTV 850, no lack of faith stops the snatching away. I'm just going to list the titles that came up here when I did this search. How will we feel right before the snatching away? How incredible is our snatching away? This incredible. Controversy over the timing of the snatching away. Confronting our acquaintances following the snatching away. The snatching away, focus on getting to God. Must Elijah be resurrected before our snatching away? Do you believe in poof or the snatching away? Expecting the snatching away is practical. Don't watch this awful show about the snatching away. Yes, that's actually a title. I'm amused by that myself. I think I'm going to watch it after I record this show. MZTV 1204, don't watch this awful show about the snatching away. What does that make me want to do? Watch the show. Kind of cleverly titled there, I guess. Will we be made aware that the snatching away is imminent? No advance notice for the snatching away. That's MZTB 529. Paul's gospel and the snatching away is a package deal. The difference between the rapture and the snatching away. We are even now being snatched away. I'm interested in that one. That's a long time ago. 3 years ago I made that video. That's MZTB 661. MZTB 332, the relative insignificance of the snatching away. Whoo! These are compelling titles, I must say. Here's one that gets right to the point. MZTV 1380, the snatching away is going to happen. That I am guessing, would address your questions as to my certainty concerning this event. Here's one that I really need to watch. People ask me, what videos do you watch, Martin, to get courage and comfort and assurance? I watch my own. It's not a joke. MZTV 614, what if the snatching away doesn't happen when we think? See, I struggled with that on Monday. It goes on and on and on. One, two, three more videos, four videos, five, six, seven. This is eight more on top of what I just read to you. The snatching away is normal. It goes on and on. So, medicated. Go to YouTube. Put in MZTV, snatching away, and if you can watch all, I hope you don't get through all of these before the actual snatching away happens. Now, at the end of the show, I want to bring up a point. I said I was going to talk about three things, and this miraculously comes back to the point at hand, the snatching away. I believe that there are no green lights in God's will. This is really helpful information for you. In other words, does God tell you what to do every day? I mean, there are certain things in Scripture God says, like love one another, stay true to the faith. I'm paraphrasing. Just these broad things that we ought to do. Be gracious toward others as God is gracious to you. Render good for evil, all these things. But does God tell you in the Scriptures what kind of car you should buy? Does he tell you what you should make for dinner tonight? Does he tell you if you should apply for that new job? Does he tell you who you should marry? Does he tell you what color to paint your living room? There are hundreds of thousands of things the Scriptures do not inform us about. What are we to do? This. We, members of the body of Christ, recognize that all is of God. And every circumstance of life is dictated by God. And when I say there are no green lights in God's will, what I mean is God is not going to tell you who to marry, what color to paint your living room. So how do you decide who to marry or what color to paint your living room? Well, you read the circumstances. Maybe look at other things in your living room. Maybe seeing as how my refrigerator is white and my stove is white, maybe I need to splash more color here. Or maybe because my sofa is green, maybe you see what I mean. Just read the circumstance. Do you like this girl that you want to marry? Does it make sense to marry her? Is there other people that would be better to marry? Every single circumstance. What are you hungry for? What are you really hungry for? You want nachos? Well, maybe pick up some Mexican food or mix up some nachos yourself. What I'm telling you is you just read the circumstances and do, this sounds blasphemous, what I'm about to say. Do what seems right to you, trusting that the Spirit of God is in you, Spirit of God makes its home in you, and God is the author of every circumstance. But Martin, we're supposed to wait on the Lord, wait on the Lord. What are you waiting for? A voice from heaven?
Thou shalt paint living room mauve. Thou shalt eat macaroni and cheese tonight for dinner.
That's not going to happen. No sky writing. No voice. No secret messages. But what we do find in God's will are stop signs. No green lights. Just red lights or stop signs. You do what seems like the best thing to do. If you sit around waiting for the Lord to tell you whether to buy the Chevy or the Ford, you're going to wait a long time. Do some research and then buy the Ford. But God will stop you. And this is where we trust God to stop us. If something's going bad, you have to look for stop signs. Now, one stop sign doesn't mean that, okay, this, if one thing goes wrong in your plan, for instance, you go to the Ford dealership and you got a real jerk at the dealership. He's not helping you at all. And I'm not saying that that's necessarily a stop sign. It maybe means you're supposed to go to another dealership if you still like the Fords. But there comes a point, your personal breaking point, where you realize, okay, that's it. Like, that's one too many things. I don't know how many things it takes for you to change your mind. Everybody's different. If you go to three dealerships and everybody's a jerk, no, I'm going to buy a Chevy. Heck with these Ford people. That's the stop sign. But not every impediment means that you should quit. If I quit after every impediment, I would have quit this work 31 years ago. So you go, you go, you go. It has to be something major for me to quit. Two things I can think of, the snatching away or my death. As far as I can tell, as far as I judge myself now, based on my circumstances, based on the way God made me, those are the only two things that are going to get me to stop making this show, my death or the snatching away. Knowing me, even after the snatching away, I'll ask God if I could, can I at least get, make up, I want to hit MZTV 2000. Could I just make a couple hundred more shows? Please, please, please. Okay, but then this is where everything comes full circle. This is amazing. I thought of that verse. I said, there's a verse in Psalms somewhere. It says, wait on the Lord, wait on the Lord. What about that? I'm asking myself that question because I mean, then this kind of goes against your no green light things under because wait on the Lord. Didn't David said wait on the Lord? Isn't that a famous scripture verse? So I looked it up and it's in Psalm 27. But I looked it up in the concordant version. The concordant version of the Old Testament. And what did I find? Psalm 27:14. This is the famous verse in the common English versions. Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Maybe because of this verse in the King James Version, people have just sat around. Your wife says, didn't I tell you to take out the garbage? I'm waiting on the Lord. I'm waiting on the Lord for direction to see whether or not I should take out the garbage or not. Ooh, that's not going to go so good. Read the circumstance, because God is the author of every circumstance. So wait on the Lord. That sounded kind of funny to me, but I said, I got to deal with it. But what does that say, I wonder, in the concordant version of the Old Testament? Are you ready for this? Verse 14, Psalm 27. Be expectant toward Yahweh. The word wait is not here. It's the word expectant. Be expectant toward Yahweh. Here's the whole verse. Be expectant toward Yahweh. Be steadfast. Let your heart be resolute. Yea, be expectant toward Yahweh. David says it twice. And the King James, the poor people reading the King James version say, he says, wait on the Lord twice. No, he doesn't. He says, be expectant toward Yahweh. He says that twice. And this comes back to the snatching away. Be expectant toward Yahweh. This has nothing to do with waiting to see what God's going to do. No, God's already doing everything. You see what I mean? You can't wait for see what God's going to do because God's doing everything. What do you mean you're going to see what God's going to do? Like what's happening now is not what God is doing. God's doing everything. In him we live and move and are. God gives to all life and breath and all. You're going to wait to see what God's going to do? He's doing it. It's be expectant. Be sure about what God says concerning you. We are expecting the snatching away. This is where it comes full circle. Isn't it a beautiful thing? We're expecting that God is going to be true to his promises. And that will result in us being steadfast and our hearts being resolute. Wow. I just love it when David agrees with me.